Support for Docs Outside the Box comes from Set for Life Insurance. Set for Life means set for less. Their clients get access to the largest portfolio of discounts and unisex rates available nationwide. Check them out at setforlifeinsurance.com and tell them Dr. Darko sent you.
Welcome to Docs Outside the Box podcast. This is your official show looking inside the minds of cutting edge and innovative doctors. Think you'll find these stories in any medical textbook? Sorry. You're getting real life insight from men and women pushing the envelope beyond medicine. Ordinary doctors doing extraordinary things. Let's start now with your host, Dr. Nee Darko.
What's good, everyone? This is Dr. Nee, the doc outside the box. And on this episode, no interviews, no 5-Minute Fridays. I'm just going to be answering some questions that I've gotten on Instagram. If you have been following me on Instagram, my handle is Dr. Nee Darko. Make sure you follow me. Make sure you subscribe. Give me a thumbs up, likes, all of those different things. But I've been trying to express more of myself a little bit more on Instagram and on social media just in general. But for me, I've just found that Instagram is a little bit more, I don't know what's the word to say, but it's easier for me to use. It seems more intuitive for me to use Instagram than even Facebook or anything else. So for me, I've been really doubling down hard on Instagram. And, you know, over the past, you say, month or so, maybe even longer than that, I've been able to really show people other sides of me besides just an interview-based type of podcast. There's more to me than just me interviewing other people. There's how I think, how I feel about the world, how I feel about certain things that affect us all, right? So I've been sharing that on Instagram, and actually we've been growing the show, or excuse me, the channel has been growing, you know, at a really good rate, and I've been really happy at that. And recently I've started asking people, particularly on Sundays or Saturdays, to go ahead and send me some questions that they may have about their current situation or any questions that they may have about me. And I just feel like I would like to start sharing with you all a little bit more about myself. I think having an interview-based type of show, you oftentimes hear about all of these really cool people who are on the show, but oftentimes I don't get a chance to really share about how I feel and what I think and what makes Dr. Nee think and so forth. So, you know, that's just an opportunity for me to really answer some questions for you all. And there's a lot of questions. So one thing that I don't like to do is I don't like writing. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that that's the reason why I started a podcast. I just don't like blogging. I don't like essays. I write too much like a scientific person, and it's just, it takes too long. So I'd prefer to just talk it out. So I've been taking some questions on Instagram, and I've been answering them on Instagram, but I know there's a significant amount of people who listen to the show, and they aren't necessarily on Instagram or follow on Facebook, so they won't necessarily see, you know, those questions and how it's answered there. So I want to take an opportunity to answer some of these questions on the Ask Dr. Nee segment. And once again, you can follow me on Instagram. Just leave a message on Sundays or Saturdays, and I will do my best to answer them on Instagram. And if I don't answer them on Instagram in terms of all of the questions, I will go ahead and answer them on the show. So that's what we're here to do. So the first question comes from handle Rahim D. Mahmood. And it says, thanks for the opportunity, Doc. In terms of podcasting, how do you manage a podcast and maintain your busy schedule as a doctor and a family man? I think it's amazing. What drives you to be successful in the field? So Rahim D. Mahmood, thank you so much for writing. I really appreciate it. You got a pretty good channel yourself, so keep up the great work. So in terms of answering this question, I'd like to take a step back and kind of look at things from a 30,000 foot view. So I am a full-time trauma surgeon. I also run this podcast that has become, you know, a little bit of a business. I also run a locums company where we're focusing on OB docs as well as trauma docs at rural and suburban hospitals. I'm a dad. I'm also a husband. And yeah, it's a lot of stuff to manage. But the key thing is the way how I look at your answer is what drives you to be successful in the field? And the key word is successful. And what drives me to be successful is actually not success and not being successful anymore. I've had to change my compass, so to speak. And for me, it's really not about success. It's really more about, and I have to underscore this, I have to bold this, whatever it is to make it stand out. It's really about fulfillment for me at this point. Earlier in my career, earlier, you know, in training, whatever time you want to look at, when I was young and I wasn't a doctor, what was driving me was just being successful. I thought that being a doctor was just the only measure of me being successful. So I got all the credentials. I got hyper-focused on being a doctor. And I really missed out on a lot of things that, you know, granted, you know, you have to do, you have to miss out on some things. There's going to be a sacrifice in your route to become a doctor. But I just felt like I really sacrificed a lot, maybe too much of who I was in order to become a physician, and was focusing so much on 4 years down the road that I didn't really kind of smell the roses. I didn't really, you know, let everybody know how important they were to me, show them in different ways, support them in different ways. And, you know, I have some regret about that. So it started to me to be more about fulfillment. How can I be happy? How can I be, how can I have gratitude about what I have and enjoying it, as opposed to just always just seeking, you know, the next biggest and greatest thing. So for me, I started the podcast because there was something more that I wanted, and it wasn't anything related to more education. It wasn't anything more related to a certain position. It literally was, I want to be more happy. I want to be more content with what I'm doing. And if whatever I do next, whatever I go for next, it's going to be because it makes me happy. It makes me feel whole. And since I've started this podcast, and since I've started that locums business, it's just really been, you know, it's taken me in a direction that I really haven't thought I would take. Like, literally, if you can imagine, you know, a XY chart and you kind of moving up in a certain direction, like, I feel like I've kind of plateaued after medical school and during residency. And then since I decided to kind of stop worrying about what everybody thinks and start doing things that me wants to do, literally, there's been like this exponential growth of what I feel like my potential is and what I've been able to accomplish. And that growth is only something that I can measure, because it's only really important to me, so to speak, right? I don't know if you really understand what I'm saying. So the reason why I've been able to kind of maintain this busy schedule and have balance, quote unquote, because I don't know who really has balance, right? Balance to me is going to be something different, and it's going to mean something different to someone else. So that type of, you know, this type of balance for me works for me because I'm really passionate about being as fulfilled as possible. So if you know me, you can ask my wife, you know, I work hard, but then also at the same time, I make sure that I come home and I spend as much time with my wife, spend as much time with my son and the rest of my family as much as possible. And even though I could be dead tired, like, there's this little thing inside of me that's saying, why don't you get out there and continue to put out episodes? Why don't you make an episode? Why don't you do this episode right now? And I think people who create, people who write, people who create podcasts, people who do YouTube videos, whatever you may do that you create and you're putting it out there, you know what I mean, right? Like, there's this drive, there's this thing that when you go to bed and you realize that you're not done, or you can't sleep until you do that final edit, until you answer that last question, until, you know, you get that last thing done that makes that job perfect, you're not going to be able to sleep until you do that. And that's where I am at right now. And that's the reason why I've been able to kind of maintain such a busy schedule and still, you know, feel like I'm doing what I'm doing as a physician, feel like I'm doing well as a family man. And also at the same time, you know, continuing to do this podcast. It's tough. It's not perfect, but it works for me. And I do appreciate your question. Thank you so, so much. And ultimately, the key things is, look, I'm going to do what's going to make me happy. And when I'm on my deathbed and my children are around me and my wife is there and some more family members are with me also, I just want to make sure that I don't have too many regrets. That's ultimately what's driving me. So I hope you get, or this gave you a little bit of a perspective on how I think. But yeah, that's how I think about it. Actually, the next question, the next topic is from FFW Charmaine. Once again, this is a question comment that was sent on Instagram, and it says, can you review or perhaps review some basic equipment as well as talk about the benefits of using Libsyn versus Blueberry versus Anchor? It's a good question. So the second half of the question, I'm going to answer that on another episode. I'm going to get into that because I think this podcast, just the entire environment is getting extremely exciting, right? And I liken podcasts to how YouTube was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So currently right now, there's not a central place right now where you can get podcasts, right? You have to go either to Apple Podcasts and your podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts. It may be available on Google Play. There's just so many different places and silos that you can get your podcast. One may be on one podcast versus another, but Spotify is not playing. You know, Spotify is coming out with premium content. There's other podcast networks out there and directories that are specifically producing content just for their own platform. And this is getting really interesting. And I'm wondering what's going to happen when someone realizes that maybe there should be a central place where you create podcasts, something similar to YouTube, and go from there. But I'll talk about that on a later show because that's an entire episode on its own. But I recently did an IG post. I want you all to check it out. I recently did an IG post. It's the one where I'm looking all GQ. I'm in my orange blazer, sitting there with my headphones and my laptop and my mic, and I'm answering some questions on what I think are some equipment that you need. Look, so I think if you want to start a podcast and you just want to kind of get off the ground and just have a couple episodes, you're not sure exactly where your show is going to go, I definitely recommend just getting some earbuds, okay? And what I mean by that is just literally the regular earbuds that come when you buy a new cell phone and you know how you throw everything out into the trash. Don't throw away those earbuds. Those are really powerful, okay? Particularly if you have like the earbuds that come with an iPhone or whatever you can get from Amazon, and that's usually anywhere from $3 to $5. But literally, you just put it in your ear, and there's a microphone that's, you know, on a cord, and the audio from there is not bad. One of my most recent episodes, I did a Tech Tuesday where I showed what the audio quality would be with earbuds versus a really good microphone like an ATR2100 versus your laptop. So check out that episode, and you can hear the difference. And although it's not perfect, you're not going to sound like NPR. You know, I think it's definitely useful for recording when you're just starting out, okay? And I think it's a great thing for people who are just starters and want to just kind of start out without necessarily having to spend a significant amount of money on a microphone. So earbuds are great. I definitely recommend that. Now, the next one that I use is called an Audio Technica ATR2100. And it's a cardioid type of microphone. You can get it for $68 on Amazon right now. I think it's a great value for your money. It's a really popular choice among podcasters. It's a popular choice even among YouTubers and people who do a lot of B-roll and they need to just talk over. They need to voice over a certain video that they have. And it's a cardioid microphone. So what that means is basically if you can draw like a heart and put it right in front of your microphone, that's basically the audio pattern of how microphone sound is going to be picked up. It picks up everything in front of the microphone, nothing really in the back. And it's been great. I love it. I carry it everywhere with me. When I go on locums, I've recorded in a airport. I've recorded while I'm on call. And it's durable. I have two. I use it when I'm recording with other guests. And the audio quality is great. I think you should definitely consider this if you're wanting to be a little bit more serious about your podcast. If you definitely think that you can see yourself recording, you know, a year and definitely beyond from this. And then there's also the default mic on your computer. You can use this if you want to, but to be honest with you, I don't recommend it. For real, I don't think the audio quality is great at all. Like I said, go back to that episode. I think it's a Tech Tuesday. Check that out, and you can hear the difference. It literally sounds like you are in a wind tunnel or some type of echo chamber. The audio quality doesn't sound that good at all. And to be honest with you, I really don't recommend it. But, you know, look, you know, I know that, you know, depending on what you have, you're going to go ahead and use whatever you have. So if you have earbuds, go ahead and use earbuds. If you have an ATR2100, go ahead and use that. But if you don't have any of those and you just want to record, you can go ahead and use the default mic. Another option that I oftentimes tell people, particularly younger people, is use the microphone on your cell phone. Your cell phone has an amazing microphone. All you have to do is quickly and cheaply just go to whatever app store. If you're on an iPhone, use the app store. If you're on an Android phone, use the Google Play store. Just download any type of audio recording software that is free and just start recording. I mean, obviously you can tell exactly how the audio is going to sound. You make phone calls with it every day. Although I may have to revise this because everybody's texting now, but you get the point, right? Whenever you call someone, that's exactly how your sound quality is going to sound. So overall, I would definitely say, the three top choices are you can use earbuds if you're just starting out and if you have one. I would say use your cell phone if you don't have earbuds. And then third, if you have a little bit of some money, if you have $70, go ahead and get the ATR 2100. I think you won't regret that. And then stay away from the default mic on your computer. But if you have to use that, go ahead too also. All right. And then conferencing services. Look, I think when I first started off, I was using Skype. Skype is good. The only problem with Skype is, I think that it's really resource intensive depending on what type of computer you have. I have a Dell XPS 13 laptop that has about 8 gigs of RAM, and it's okay, but I just kind of noticed that sometimes the more intensive that the resources were being used, the audio quality started to get worse. So I switched to Zoom, and that's what I use. I think a majority of people are using Zoom now because it's really great to get other people onto the show. You can have a guest on the show. They don't need a Skype account. And then you can also have another guest. You can have multiple guests on there, and you can literally split the tracks depending on all the guests that are there. And then you can give it to an editor, or you can do it yourself and kind of sync all the audio. So I definitely recommend some type of conferencing service, whether it's Skype or Zoom. Zoom is my favorite, or even like 1-800 conference call. Those, I think, really minimize the issues, particularly when you're doing remote interviews. So FFW Charmaine, thank you so much for submitting that question. The next one is from family. This is from Frozen_Royalty06. This is actually my nephew who's graduating from college very soon. And he says, "Hey, Unc, I wanted to start my own podcast and after I graduate and wanted to know how you keep your podcast topics versatile while still maintaining a core agenda. Basically, what do you do to keep your podcast lively and satisfying to your target audience?" This is actually a really, really good question. Thank you so much for asking this question. I can always rely on my family to kind of support me in this. So thank you and congratulations for graduating in the next week or so. We're all so proud of you. So there's three things that I always tell people, particularly in my podcasting course, to really focus on when you're trying to determine what are the podcast topics, how do you stay versatile, and how do you keep a core agenda, right? And number one is just remember to be yourself. That's the key thing. Just be yourself. Be very comfortable in who you are. Accept the ums, the ahs. I still do that. I'm not a perfect public speaker. And I mean, the really perfect public speakers are really, they're just on a different level. And I don't think that we should really try to attain to be to that level because I think it oftentimes impedes progress, right? You want to get so focusing on the prize, you don't really focus on the process, right? In order to be a good speaker, you got to practice. So I tell everybody, don't try to be Oprah. Don't try to be former President Barack Obama. Don't try to be Malcolm Gladwell. Anybody that you can think of who's a phenomenal speaker, Tony Robbins. It takes time and you may not even get to that point, right? And anyone that you can think of that you can put on a pedestal, I recommend don't shoot for that. Right? Just be yourself. Be comfortable with who you are. Be comfortable with the little quirks and nuances that make you you. The nervousness that you may have when you talk on a microphone, that's okay. Embrace it, right? People are tuning in because, listen, you can get a message from anybody, right? There's so many different ways that I can talk about being a doc outside the box. There's only so many different podcasts that you can get that. You guys are tuning in because you want to hear from me. And I tell that to people who are in my class all the time. Be yourself. People want to hear from unique messengers. It's great if you have a unique message, but it's really hard to make your own message, right? Have your own, be comfortable with, being a unique messenger, okay? And it's okay to be comfortable with your voice. It's okay to be comfortable with your perspective. And remember that you can't please everybody. You're not supposed to, right? Live in your truth. The second thing is find a topic that you're interested in talking about, okay? Make sure, you're really passionate about that. But that could be hard too. And if that's too difficult, then I would recommend find out what you're good at and see if there's a need, if there are people who actually have problems and you may happen to have the answer for that. So basically, pick a problem, find a solution, and then start a podcast about that. Okay, so, you know, Pat Flynn oftentimes talks about how when he first started his podcasting journey, his podcast did not have anything to do with smart passive income. It was actually about green technology and how that relates to architecture, which is mad boring. And he even admits that, right? It's really boring. Like, how can I make a house more efficient, right? Like, that's not what people really tune in for. So you think a lot of people tuned in for that. He started off of a website, and then, you know, the rest is history. And then he switched up into, you know, smart passive income, and then it became a podcast, and he is who he is. So I always say, find a problem that you're really good at and that you can use your skills to perform a solution for people, and people will tune in. Okay. Or, you know, pick a topic that you're really interested in and just talk about it. And hopefully you get enough people to jump on and build community with you. And then also is make sure you understand the specific person that you want to listen to the show. I oftentimes tell people, listen, if your show is for everybody, it really isn't for anybody. Okay, make sure you understand it. If you're making your show for everybody, then you really aren't really doing a great job, because you can't be everything to everybody. Your voice, your personality, what's you're passionate about may not resonate with everyone. So I oftentimes recommend finding your avatar. That is the person that you are talking to that you want to really affect change, who you really want to connect with. So for me, my show, I have a specific avatar that I shoot for. And if a whole bunch of other people listen to it, that's great. That's wonderful. But I know that in order for my show to be successful, you know, if I focus on pleasing everyone, then I know that actually the show is going to suffer. I'm going to not be focused on, you know, getting proper guests. I'm not going to be focused on getting the right topics. So I talk about the topics that I think the person who I want to listen to the show would be interested. And I definitely recommend that to you, is to make sure that you find that specific person, find out, you know, what their age is, find out where they live, find out what magazines they listen to, find out, you know, where they hang out, find out what websites they listen to. Kind of write all this stuff down. Don't worry about having multiple people. Find that one person and then just do the demographics on that one person, and then find out what topics are important to them, and then go from there. All right. So the plant-based MD wrote, now these questions are more towards my life as a locums. And it says, do you recommend working for more than one agency to increase job options? What do you think is the biggest advantage and disadvantage of locum? So the plant-based MD, thank you so much for writing this. So this is mainly about locums and what are the advantages. The advantages are, I'm my own boss. I determine when I want to work. I determine when I leave. I can determine how much I'm going to make. That is something that I've realized about myself that makes me very happy and makes me very fulfilled. I couldn't really describe that when I was, you know, in high school or as a, you know, obviously in college and so forth. And it wasn't until, you know, I really started doing my own podcast and doing locums that I realized that what I really enjoy, what I really want out of life is not just fulfillment, but also just independence, autonomy. And that's exactly what attracted me to becoming a physician, is that I can help people. I can be an expert on the human body, but also at the same time, like, what I really look at are doctors who are able to practice on their own terms, that nobility, that independence, that autonomy. And I'm not going to lie, the way in which the corporate climate is right now, that is slowly but surely being stripped away. So for me, you know, being a locums, that advantage of being your own boss, paying your own bills, eating what you kill, determining how much you're going to make is something that is extremely powerful. It resonates with me. You know, I feel like I'm my own man, and it's something that I hope that I don't have to give up. Now, in terms of the disadvantage, I'm not going to lie. At times, it can be unpredictable. There are times when you are going to be in demand, and hopefully you're in demand at one or two places, maybe even three. And then there are going to be times possibly where you won't be in demand, or you may have to go to several different hospitals that may be in several different far away places. And that can be painful at times. I've been lucky that I've been able to find consistent work at two places, and I've been able to kind of just show out and really provide work there consistently, and also at the same time bring my family, particularly just to one place, and then from there kind of just travel in between intermittently. If you can find something like that, I think that you can turn that disadvantage of just kind of the unpredictability of locums into an advantage. But, you know, not everybody has that option. So that is one disadvantage, is that it could be unpredictable in terms of what you're going to do and where you're going to be working. But in my opinion, the advantage far outweighs the disadvantage. Okay. And then the other thing is, yes, I recommend working for more than one agency. I work for my own agency, which is Equal Access Health. You can go and visit that at equalaccesshealth.net and find out what we have. But I definitely recommend working for more than one agency as a locums if you're not going to do it yourself, because different agencies have different access to different jobs and they definitely pay differently. And it's really good to be able to compare and to be able to pit locums agencies against each other if you have to. So it's very important that you go ahead and do that. There's no need to be or to feel like there's a sense of the word that I'm looking for is this sense of, you know, you feel like you have to, you know, you're doing a favor to one agency by just sticking with them. You know, the more opportunities that you open yourself up to by being with different agencies, I think the better it's going to be for you. So future.jamie says, in nursing, you must have 2 years experience before traveling. How much experience must you have before becoming locum? Working as a traveler, I made roughly 50% more as a perm staff. What is the rough price difference between locums and perm staff? I'm not going to lie. Look, as a locums, you're going to be making a significant amount of money more so than any type of permanent staff, right? The hospital is going to be putting out a significant amount of money to get you there from a lodging standpoint, from a flight standpoint, from a car rental standpoint, and then even from a paying standpoint. A salary or a reimbursement standpoint, you're going to be getting paid that much more. But just remember, you know, that it's not all, you know, great. You know, there's going to be some disadvantages, but expect to get paid more. In terms of, you know, how much experience do you need before you become a locum? There isn't. All you have to do is be licensed, you know, finish your residency, and the hospital gets to review all of these different things and makes a decision if they want to work with you, and that's it. So some people want to do locums after they've worked maybe a year, 2 years, maybe even longer, and then they want to get out there and do it on their own. Some people, like myself, I finished fellowship, and then I went ahead and started doing locums, and that gave me an opportunity to also see different practice patterns from trauma, you know, throughout the country. I mean, I was all over the place. I went to Idaho. I went to Minnesota. I went to Wisconsin. I went to Pennsylvania. And, you know, the rest is history. I just kind of landed at where I landed. And it really gave me a perspective that I think a lot of people coming straight out of fellowship or coming straight out of residency and going right into their first job and as an employee don't necessarily get, right? I got a chance to, one, find out how much I can get paid as a locums versus being a permanent staff. So I learned my worth. And then also at the same time, I got to really just work and just really kind of develop my skills on my own. And I got to just see how different practice patterns are. I got to see how the different political, geopolitical things at each hospital was. And I got to really kind of keep myself away from all of that stuff because I could just say, hey, look, if I don't like the way CEO and, you know, and the doctors get along, I don't have to come back to this place anymore. So, you know, it kind of kept me above the fray. And once I became an employee, it was one of those things where I kind of just yearned to kind of go back to becoming a locums. And now I'm locums 100%, and I hopefully don't have to go back. So in terms of experience, once you become a physician, once you get your residency training and you get your license, you can do whatever you want to do. So the pretty doc asks, did you start locum straight out of residency? Is that favorable or unfavorable? So similar to the previous question, but let's take it from is it a favorable or unfavorable? How does it look? Well, from a favorable, unfavorable situation, I actually did not have any problems finding a permanent job after I did a year and a half of locums. As a matter of fact, I think it made me a better candidate because whatever hospital I was looking at, for the most part, I did locums there and they knew what they were getting. And then for me, I also knew what was going on also, right? There was nothing that they can slide underneath or hide from me with an interview that only lasted about 3 to 5 hours, right? And then they're using all jazz hands at the end. Like, isn't this place great, right? Meanwhile, they're steering you away from all the problem children or the problem people who are there at the hospital, making sure that they don't show up this day or what have you. Like, I was working at these hospitals for, you know, pretty much close to a year. So I got to see who they are, what they're really all about, in all of their glory. So for me, it was very favorable. It was extremely helpful to find out, you know, is a place for real? Can I see myself working there? And I think from vice versa, they can see how hard I worked. They can see what my dedication was. And I found that to be favorable both sides. I really can't think of a place where it could be unfavorable. But you never know. I mean, I'm not all knowing, but you never know. There could be situations where it's unfavorable, but I can't really think of that many examples. You know, I think there's just too many positives right now, you know, to go the locums route. I definitely recommend for residents who are not sure exactly what they want to do, and they're not sure exactly where they want to be, to not really discount locums. Really consider it. Think about it. I think it's a viable option. It helps you understand your self-worth. It helps you, you know, save up some cash. And also at the same time, it helps you kind of, you know, interview a place without necessarily being on a quote unquote interview. Okay. So I think that's all the questions for right now. I just want to say thank you all for, you know, writing in, leaving feedback on Instagram, following me on Instagram. I'm really, like I said, I'm really doubling down on making the Instagram page the primary place for people to ask me questions, find out about how I feel about things, what my thoughts are on things. And, you know, I just think that you all can learn a lot, you know, hopefully from following me on Instagram. And it's a great way for us to communicate. So I also want to thank you all for writing those questions. So what's up? Thank you so much. And, wait till next week. Next week, we'll be back to an interview-based type of episode. So I'm going to catch y'all on the next one. But before I jet, remember one thing. We got one life. Let's make it count and live outside the box. Peace.